news and great conversation. A Civic Media station.
CBS News Brief. Former FBI Director James Comey says bring on the trial after he was indicted on two federal counts at the urging of President Trump. Loyola Law's Lori Levinson.
It's not a surprise that they were able to get the indictment against James Comey, but there's a long way to go before getting a conviction.
The statute of limitations in the case was set to expire next week. Get ready to pay more for another batch of imports. CBS's Jesse Mitchell.
President Trump says his administration will impose new tariffs on a range of items, including pharmaceuticals, furniture, and heavy trucks made outside the U.S.
Irish hip-hop star Mo Cara with the group Kneecap scored a victory at court in the UK this morning. CBS's Vicky Barker is there.
The judge threw out the terror-related charge against him for technical reasons. His alleged crime, waving a flag of the banned terror group Hezbollah at a London gig.
CBS News Brief. I'm Deborah Rodriguez.
For 540 WAUK News, I'm Stuart J. Wattles. An immigrant rights group is condemning a federal immigration operation in Manitowoc County, where 21 people were arrested, including 9 accused of sex crimes and trafficking minors. Forward Latino calls the raid an unjust attack on hardworking immigrant families, urging the government to create legal pathways instead of tearing families apart. The FBI and ICE carried out the arrests, targeting people believed to be in the U.S. illegally. Forward Latino President Daryl Morin stressed that most immigrants aren't criminals but vital members of the community. New test scores for Wisconsin kids aren't great, and they're even worse for kids of color. The latest test scores from the State Department of Public Instruction show major racial and income gaps once again. Just 18% of black students reached expectations in English, compared to over 61% of white students. The new data shows only about half of all public school students are hitting the mark for English and math. State Superintendent Jill Underly says the test scores matter, but they don't show the challenges students bring to school, like worries at home and mental health struggles. Some reminders as the hunt approaches. Lisa Hale has more.
With deer hunting seasons opening across the state, the Wisconsin Department of Natural Resources is reminding hunters to test their deer for chronic wasting disease. Hunters have a variety of options to test for the disease, including self-service kiosks, using meat processors that can assist with sampling, arranging an appointment with the DNR, or by doing it themselves at home or in the field. Hunters should also be aware of counties with baiting and feeding bans that have been triggered by positive chronic wasting disease tests.
And that's news on 540 WAUK. I'm Stuart J. Wattles. News at the top and bottom of the hour, or anytime at WAUKradio.com.
The boys are back in town. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. Baseball tonight, the Brewers host the Cincinnati Reds. In the final weekend of the regular season, Quinn Priester on the mound for Milwaukee. They've won 19 games in a row whenever he's pitched. Third baseman, Caleb Durbin.
There's something about just the way he looks, the way he composes himself, body language. It's easy to feed off of as far as playing defense behind him, but I think that's why he's so successful out there right now, is he's just competing like a bulldog, and it's easy to tell.
NFL, the Packers play the Cowboys on Sunday Night Football, but Dallas will be without their top wide receiver, CeeDee Lamb, out the next 3 to 4 weeks with a high ankle sprain. Xavier McKinney.
You know, he's a playmaker on our offense, and he's one of the, you know, the best players that they have on their team. So obviously, you know, him not being out there is going to have an effect. But I think they're still going to run a lot of, you know, what they usually run. And it's going to be a next man up type of mentality.
That's the Packers safety, Xavier McKinney, with sports. I'm Mike Clemens.
The WAUK Text to Win contest, sponsored by Horizons Law Group, where they educate, collaborate, mediate, or litigate to serve you best. HorizonsLaw.com.
Partly cloudy today with a high in the upper 60s to low 70s this afternoon. Tonight, mostly clear. Could see a little fog overnight. Our low in the 50s. Tomorrow, mostly sunny with a high in the 70s to near 80. I'm meteorologist Sean Cable.
Outside now, it's 53.
When it comes to vaping, the truth can get clouded. So let's make it clear. Vaping is not safe for youth.
Because vaping can put microscopic particles into your lungs.
And dangerous things like metals into your body.
And nicotine, which can harm a person's brain development through their mid-20s.
With appealing flavors, high nicotine levels, and lots of promotion on social media,
many kids think vaping is harmless, but it's not.
So talk to your kids about the risks of vaping.
Because when you talk, they hear you.
Learn more at underagedrinking.samhsa.gov.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba.
My problem is I don't ever eat fish fries, so when I do it, I overdo it. I ordered a large perch, I ate everything on my plate, and I felt like I wanted to die. And now I don't want to eat fish again, maybe ever.
I know it's a staple to get breaded fish, but if you don't get the bread on it, you know, you can kind of get away with eating more.
I'm not trying to gain weight for football here. I'm like, I just want to have a nice meal.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba. Weeknights from 6 till 8 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app. Jane Matinair and Greg Bach.
Coming up on the show, time for a little recombobulation with Civic Media's political editor Dan Schaefer joins us. I hope you will too.
Matinair on air, weekday mornings 9 to 11.
Real news, great conversation from Milwaukee and beyond. 540 WAUK.
Live across Wisconsin on Civic Media, you're listening to Mornings with Pat Kreitlow, powered by Up North News. Now, from our Lake Wissota studio, here is the founding editor of Up North News, Pat Kreitlow.
Well, hey there, Wisconsin. Good morning. It is a Friday morning. It is 6:06 on this September 26th, 2025. It's another beautiful morning to have you here, not from the Lake Wissota studio, but from here in Madison Studio A2 at the top of State Street, just off the Capitol Square. But we are pleased to have you live across the Civic Media Radio Network from wherever you're spending your mornings, listening or watching, and appreciate you wrapping up your work week right here. I got a question for you. It's not much of a pop quiz, but we'll bring Parker Olson in anyway, who's producing this thing.
Oh, God, I thought I was done with pop quiz.
Literally right across the room from me, right here, but lighting. Lighting is everything,
yeah.
As I've come to learn. I got a question for you. Packers, Cowboys, who do you got?
Well, America's team is not exactly America's team anymore.
It's never been America's team.
There you go.
So long ago.
You heard it here first, folks.
Yep.
That is what we take here at Up North.
It's amazing that the Cowboys still get the attention that they do. I mean, they've done
nothing.
Well,
they just keep blowing themselves up so well.
It's on.
That's why.
They are the Kardashians of the NFL.
That is a really good line.
They're famous for being famous. They don't actually do anything of any consequence except fight and create drama.
Yeah.
That's it. And so the Packers head into there like they've walked onto a soundstage, like I'm in a reality show. You've got Jerry Jones's, version of Disney World there under the, the AT&T Stadium, whatever.
I believe that's what I just call it, Jerry's World.
Jerry's World, where it is so far from City Stadium, where the Packers used to play before Lambeau Field.
Yeah.
Where it was just folks on the bleachers and enjoying a football game. It is such show business now. However, it is a national stage. It is Sunday Night Football. Coverage will begin at 5 o'clock Sunday on some stations across the Civic Media Radio Network. And so, I mean, it is a fair question after what happened, against Cleveland last week.
Yeah, it didn't look great.
Do we think the Packers can get back on track against the Cowboys? And so that's one of the questions heading into the weekend. Maybe it's not your biggest question.
Yeah, I think it'll be okay. I'm not too worried.
You're not too worried?
I'm not too worried.
Okay.
The Packer defense is fine, except for when they absolutely need to be not,
Well, when we are starting this show on Monday, sleep deprived, we'll have a rough idea of where things are going here. Yeah. So again, that's kind of our question, getting set up for the weekend here. And of course, you can let us know your own thoughts on the Packers taking on the Cowboys. You can also just ask any other questions or make comments, of course, by just heading into the comment sections of Facebook or YouTube for Up North News or for Civic Media, or using the Civic Media app to text us. Remember, you're going to need that Civic Media app to text us about an hour from now when we give you the keyword for the Go for the Green and Gold Text to Win contest, where you could win tickets to see Green Bay take on Minnesota come November. So that's the football end of things. Then we've got baseball because, again, we're heading into the final weekend of the regular season. And in many places, it's the final weekend of baseball. But not here, as the Brewers go for wins 97, 98, and 99 on the season, which would each be a franchise record. They're taking down the Reds, and the pregame begins at 6:35 on some of the stations of the Civic Media Radio Network. And the Reds are, they're in the fight of their lives right now, Parker, along with others. So they're going to be motivated. So
yeah. I worry a little that we might get our doors blown off because I think we're starting to mail it in a little.
Mail it in means we're resting up the starters.
Okay,
we're getting, you know, even though they will have like a week off, trying to avoid injuries, you know, trying to avoid dumb mistakes this weekend.
You know what I want to see this weekend?
What do you want to see this weekend?
I want to see Jacob Mizrowski out of the bullpen.
Yes. You know what? Here's my bold prediction, which isn't that bold. I think they'll do that. I think they'll try that.
Yeah. Good.
Why? Because I'm pretty sure I heard Pat Murphy say that.
Oh,
saying,
really?
Saying a few days back, like, yeah, we might try him out of the bullpen just to see how that goes.
I did not know that. Okay.
I'm
a genius.
I could be making it up. Maybe you're not that clairvoyant. I don't know. But I would like that very much. And it's nothing against him. I mean, again, those first couple of starts were magical.
Yeah.
But I think hitters were able to dial into him pretty well.
So. Yeah, I mean, MLB is so hard.
Like, there you go. Put that on a plaque.
Ultimately, that's what it is. MLB is just so hard.
Mm-hmm. It is, and he's finding that out, as many pitchers have, when you come in with all kinds of heat, and then they turn you into meat. And that's just... That's how it goes. Reminder that you can stay up to date with what we're doing at Up North News by signing up for our newsletter, upnorthnewswi.com. And Ellie has created a special edition today, chock full of fall festivals and Oktoberfests, and even a preview of some of the Halloween attractions that are going to be coming up across Wisconsin. So get yourself signed up for that newsletter, upnorthnewswi.com. And get today's special edition. And then, of course, we've got our Sunday morning edition as well that I work on, Sunday mornings with Pat Kreitlow, coincidentally enough. And I ask this week, if there is another government shutdown next week, who will be to blame? And a lot of people want to answer both congressional Republicans and Donald Trump. And I'm asking, look, if it's either or, who's to blame more? And how many people think it's Democrats? Perhaps the other question, and maybe the next week's question I should ask is, if there's a shutdown, you know, will Democrats cave? Because that's exactly what the Trump administration is hoping for, as I'll discuss with Kia Vakil coming up here. So again, that's part of our question of the week. You get that on Sunday mornings by signing up for our newsletter there. Roger reminds us on Facebook that the Brewers' magic number is 1. For home field number one seed all through the playoffs. It just takes one Brewer win or one Philly loss over the course of this weekend, and we'll get that home field advantage, which will be great. I mean, extra home games, extra tickets. I still need tickets for tomorrow night. I was talking to my friend.
Still?
Yes. I'm like, how you doing on those tickets? He's like, I'm going to work on that later. So,
dude.
I know. I think he's... Again, we've talked about this. He's trying to, in the stock market, they call it trying to catch a falling knife. And he's trying to bank on people going, they're in the playoffs. There's going to be playoff games. I'd rather go to that and not go to the series this weekend. But a lot of people thinking, hey, this weekend's the last time tickets are affordable.
Oh, that's what I'm thinking.
Yeah.
I would have thought that with you being in town and having come down primarily mm-hmm. for the reason of going to that game, yes. I kind of thought.
I did too. I'm not gonna lie.
My 2 cents. I'm not gonna say too much about your relationship with your friends, but just so you know, that's my 2 cents.
Pat. We had his wife is away on a trip this weekend, and so it's been great just catching up. We have told all kinds of stories. We've asked each other, hey, whatever happened to, you know, so-and-so.
Oh, God, yeah.
And it's been really nice, grilling out in the backyard and things like that. So, yeah, it's been kind of good to catch up. It's been a good little break. It's been good to finally see you. We got to go to coffee yesterday. That's a joke, by the way. People know Parker does not drink coffee, but you sat there and watched me drink mine very nicely.
Yes.
As we talked about how to move things forward here. And we're moving things forward in a nice way. And today's history lesson coming up in a bit. We can't give many details because Greg Bach might be listening in, but
that's true.
We've got a part of our history segment tailor-made for Greg Bach's weekly visit to come see us.
I'm very excited.
I think this is going to be a lot of fun.
I'm looking forward to this too. You know, it's all the pressure. You think the pressure's on me and Greg to be entertaining. It's actually all on Parker because it's all technical. It's all about production and whether we can pull this off or not. So we'll see. So stick around for that coming up 20 minutes from right now. There's so many different ways that we can head into the news and talk about what is happening here in terms of, for example, the trumped up, literally, charges against former FBI Director Jim Comey. But we'll wait to talk about that in our next hour with Mark Jacob and Jennifer Schulze, because, again, it does indicate a weaponization of the United States Department of Justice, which, again, as we've said so many times, it has always been about projection with America's right wing, is that they accuse you of the thing they want to do. You know, Donald Trump did not like being finally hauled into court and ultimately convicted for fraud when he committed fraud. And he called that the weaponization of government, so that when he gets in, he is actually weaponizing it. And in the case of Jim Comey, trumping up a charge that would not be prosecuted in any other way. And no career prosecutors were involved in this, by the way. Nobody wanted to handle this case yesterday. It was a political appointee who has never tried a case who went to this grand jury to get the indictment. And what's the old saying in law? You can indict a ham sandwich, but the trick is getting a conviction. And so, you know, there are tactics at work here that Kia Vakil will talk about in just a minute. So we could talk about that, but I do want to mention a few words about the teacher in Ellsworth, Krista Lasecki. And after communicating with her last night, it appears that she will no longer be teaching in Ellsworth. She could not give, you know, details of any kind of a separation agreement or anything like that. But it is a case of, even if she agreed to it, even if she put her name on the bottom line, let's keep in mind that she has lost her job teaching, not because of any words that she posted. She has the freedom to do that. She lost her job because of a sitting member of the United States Congress, her congressman, Derek Van Orden, who then threatened the city of Ellsworth with a loss of federal funding if this one teacher was not disciplined, called out, made public, doxed, everything, for making comments about Charlie Kirk that he didn't like. But again, while Krista has expressed regret for bringing some unwanted attention to Ellsworth and takes responsibility for her words, they do not rise to the level of hate speech. And that's what Derek Van Orden and all the others were claiming. Good Lord, no, not hate speech. There is a saying, the way you die does not change the way you lived. Charlie Kirk's record is clear, and so is Krista Lasecki's. One of them taught children well for 30 years in western Wisconsin. The other taught children to hate. And some of Charlie Kirk's acolytes are in true hate mode right now, which, I mean, ultimately is not a surprise. What it has done in our country, it has brought a new red scare to America. It is costing Americans their jobs for actions that do not rise to any legal level of impropriety. But when you have people from Wisconsin like Joseph McCarthy then and Derek Van Orden and friends now, who have no regard for the rule of law, only the rule of a dear leader, only a cult of personality, you will have Americans having their freedoms curtailed. And that's exactly what happened to this teacher in Ellsworth. And that's exactly what has happened to now countless Americans around the country, no different than the Red Scare of the late 40s, early 1950s. This entire administration and the people who conducted themselves in this manner will bring a dark stain to American history. We're always told by the right wing, oh, you're teaching people to hate our history. We don't hate our history. We tell an honest record of our history. And that honest telling will be one of hateful people doing harmful things right here in Wisconsin and across the country. I'm Pat Kreitlow. This is the Civic Media Radio Network.
You are listening to 540 WAUK, Milwaukee's home for mornings with Pat Kreitlow.
Listen for This Week in Waukesha, a weekly podcast presentation of 540 WAUK.
Hey, it's downtown Donnie Brown, and this week in Waukesha, we have Waukesha's Rob Kuzner, professor at UWM, talking about power electronics and the multiple opportunities for students, local businesses, and so much more, doing great things for the Navy here at UWM.
Log on to waukradio.com and search for This Week in Waukesha from 540 WAUK.
Streaming TV is where it's at. It's not about cutting the cord anymore. It's all about your customized TV options. With the best and cheapest high-speed internet and your own TV subscriptions, we've got your dream TV lineup. Between wired and satellite internet and TV, save money and get more internet speed and better TV today by calling the Whole Home Connect.
800-217-9129. 800-217-9129. 800-217-9129.
Today's job market is full of demand for skilled trade workers. Electricians, welders, mechanics, these and other trades are the backbone of every community. They're also a huge part in making sure the Army National Guard is always fulfilling its mission of service to our country and communities. Soldiers train to keep the power flowing, engines running, and supplies moving. The skilled trades these soldiers perform are the same ones needed in today's civilian workforce. Army National Guard soldiers are on the fast track to learning skills that can set them up for success at home with companies looking to hire the best. With options from plumber to helicopter mechanic and everything in between, soldiers are able to select the trades that best fit their lives. Their resumes are being built through their paid training and part-time service. Find out how you too can learn a trade profession and serve your community and country by visiting NationalGuard.com. Sponsored by the Wisconsin Army National Guard. Aired by the Wisconsin Broadcasters Association and this station.
Looking to give back to your community? Visit VolunteerWisconsin.org to find volunteer opportunities near you. Join us in celebrating United Ways Month by getting involved. Visit VolunteerWisconsin.org or contact your local United Way today. Paid for by United Way of Wisconsin.
Join the family. Civic Media has a number of great jobs across the state open now at civicmedia.us/careers.
All right, welcome back. It is 6:22 on this Friday morning, and let's begin our week in review, get you caught up on all the things you might have missed over the past week. Of course, we've got our panel coming up in the next hour. And in this hour from Courier Newsroom, we've got National Political Editor Kia Vakil from Los Angeles. Kia, how are you?
I am all right, Pat. How about yourself?
It has been another week in Trump world where, you know, the norms mean nothing. And I think that the headline from yesterday, and frankly, the one from the day before, that, really capture this, okay? It's a sitting president directing the Department of Justice. Yesterday, it was George Soros, who finances lots of left-wing causes. Courier Newsroom gets some of support from him as well. The day before that, it was the FBI former director, Jim Comey. And of course, before that was ABC. Now, Jimmy Kimmel was put back on ABC, and I kind of thought, well, maybe the tide is turning, but clearly Donald Trump didn't get that memo, and it sure seems like he's content to continue trying to turn the U.S. Department of Justice into his own personal, you know, legal vengeance tool.
He is going to push every single limit, law, rule, norm, whatever you could think of, and he's not going to win all of them, but he's going to, you know, it's going to... It already has, in a lot of cases, forced companies have just settled and given in rather than deal with the legal onslaught. Risk over being regulated in some way they don't want. And it's alarming because it's essentially, you know, one man using the mighty power of the American federal government to go after anything he doesn't like or approve of, whether that's a TV station, a show, a host, a George Soros, a liberal organization, a voting rights group, you know, the ephemeral thing that they claim is Antifa. You know, there is no shortage of targets they could go after. They can, you know, and they're not going to be successful in every case or maybe necessarily in even most cases. But if you force these groups, most of which don't operate on huge budgets, most of which, you know, may not even have in-house counsel, to have to fund legal fees and defend themselves, that could force a lot of them into bankruptcy. This is a favorite tool of authoritarians to use the power of the state against any enemies, real or perceived.
Yeah. And the fact of the matter is we have continued sliding toward that authoritarianism, toward that autocracy. And there are very few guardrails left. Now, one potential one that certainly has public support is finding justice for the victims of sexual predator Jeffrey Epstein. Mm-hmm. And that in some way, shape or form, we still don't know how, but Donald Trump is named in those files. And there's this petition in Congress to release them. And now, thanks to an Arizona special election, Trump's effort to distract from anything but the Epstein files might not work. So can you talk a bit about the what a discharge petition is and what happened in Arizona to maybe change things?
Yeah, so basically, an Arizona special election to fill the seat of a lawmaker who died. His daughter won the seat. She had been a longtime lawmaker. So that gave, you know, enough representatives to sign on to the discharge position, which is filed by Republican Thomas Massie from Kentucky, who is a kind of was a Tea Party guy and has like been one of the, I mean, pretty much the only Tea Party guy who's still held to some principle in the Trump era and has become a thorn in Trump's side. You know, I don't want to lionize the guy. We have a lot of disagreements, but he's been pretty consistent on Epstein, which, you know, in the face of everyone else who's backed away from giving a crap about it on the right. So Thomas Massie introduced this discharge petition that will need 218 signatures, a majority in the House. And right now they've been at 217 for a little while. It's been every Democrat, Massie, and a couple Republicans. But the win from the Arizona lawmaker, the Democrat, gives them 218, which would essentially then force a House floor vote on the release of records related to Jeffrey Epstein. And so that would, one, put every Republican on the record for either voting for or against that. Two, presumably, if they have enough votes on the discharge petition, they could get enough votes for the actual release of the records. You know, what would happen after that with the Senate is unclear, but that's what would happen. Right now, what we're seeing is the White House and congressional leaders are really, really pressuring those couple Republicans who signed on, trying to force them to retract their signatures, basically. I am not a conspiracy theorist by nature. I am not someone who was always chasing after the Epstein files, but the way in which they've responded over the last 6 months, and especially to this discharge petition, really suggests there is something really, really nefarious and not good for Trump in those files.
And by the way, let's make clear that if you say you stand for law and order, if you say you stand with getting justice for Epstein's victims, you should know that most Republicans don't agree, at least not enough to sign that discharge petition. No Republicans from Wisconsin are on there. But if that petition is filed, they would then have to be on the record voting for or against the release of those files. And then finally, we have the prospect of a government shutdown next week. And President Trump is ratcheting up the pressure more than a couple of notches with threats of, you know, layoffs far beyond what would be required in a government shutdown. Kia, my own question to you is, do you think the Democrats will hold the line and hope that public pressure falls harder on Republicans rather than Democrats to be the good guys and stop the shutdown?
I think in the short term, yes. I think we're going to head for a shutdown because Trump doesn't want to meet with Democrats, doesn't want to negotiate, has no interest, canceled a meeting, and is now essentially trying to mob boss bully them into agreeing to pass a spending bill without extending Affordable Care Act subsidies, which really is the one like key thing that Democrats are pushing for. I think we're going to have a shutdown. The question of how long it is, I don't know. I think will Democrats, you know, hold firm? I don't know. Depends what the politics of it turn out to be in the coming weeks. I could see it going either way. This is a shutdown I could see going on for honestly quite a while because you have Trump and his, you know, loyalists in Congress who have no real respect for anything, and Democrats need to show fight. And so this could be a recipe for an extended shutdown.
It truly could. Kia Vakil, Courier Newsroom's national political editor, telling us about all that and more as we get started on the weekend here. Kia, thank you very much.
You bet. Thanks, Beth.
Coming up, we'll have today's history lesson. I'm Pat Kreitlow. You're up north.
You're listening to Milwaukee's Real News and Great Conversation, 540 WAUK.
You're listening to 540 WAUK, Milwaukee's home for the Todd Allball Show, weekday afternoons from 2 to 4.
Our valuable dairy sector in Wisconsin not seeing the seasonal demand we'd hoped for by now. I'm Pam Yonke, starting you off before the opening bell on a finally Friday morning. Quick look at what's happening in agribusiness news. So what does that mean for dairy prices going into 2026? Those projections next.
Okay, it's time for our fan field goal kick of the game.
Hey, he's wearing a Pioneer brand PowerCore Enlist Corn t-shirt.
Of course, Pioneer brand PowerCore Enlist Corn beats the competition's yields by 7.7 bushels an acre.
All right, here's the kick.
It's good!
Not bad for a guy in work boots.
Plant the 100th season of Pioneer. Visit pioneer.com/powerup.
At CHS, we know what it takes to feed and fuel the world, to integrate a global ag and energy supply chain, to advocate for farmers in their fields and around the world, to build communities, invest in rural America, and empower rural economies. It takes courage, conviction, commitment. It takes the nation's leading farmer-owned cooperative. It takes a co-op. It takes CHS.
Right now, it seems like the buyers that are looking for cheese and butter for the upcoming holidays are a little thin in the marketplace. Matt Trennell, one of the dairy analysts with EverAg in Platteville, says they're still optimistic.
We're starting to hear, especially on the butter front, lots of different grocery stores starting to push hard on butter promotions, which makes sense because butter is at the lowest price that we've seen since 2021. At $1.62 on the spot market. So it hasn't been there to date just yet, but the more promotional items that we do, the likelihood that there will be some sort of demand. And
Matt Trannell, one of the dairy analysts for EverAg out of their Platteville office, remaining optimistic that that seasonal dairy demand will be in the marketplace. Yesterday in Chicago, speaking of butter, the butter went up 2 cents to 164. 40-pound block cheese down a quarter of a cent, 163 and three quarters. Well, the barrel cheese was unchanged, 164 and a half. In overnight electronic trade this morning, markets are a little bit mixed. Currently, December corn's down a penny at 425. November soybeans down 2.5 at 1010. July new crop wheat's down 3 at 564. The Class 3 milk that goes into cheese for October down 25 cents at 1679. November, though, up 3 at 1621 a hundredweight. So just a quick snapshot of what's happening with the markets rolling into a Friday trade session. I am Farm Director Pam Yonke.
The 540 WAUK Text to Win contest is sponsored by Pickleball Kingdom, just a half mile north of Silver Spring Drive off Pilgrim Road, Menominee Falls.
Partly cloudy today with a high in the upper 60s to low 70s this afternoon. Tonight, mostly clear. Could see a little fog overnight. Our low in the 50s. Tomorrow, mostly sunny with a high in the 70s to near 80. I'm meteorologist Sean Cable. Outside now, it's 55.
The Todd Allbaugh Show.
We don't always agree politically, but Bill McCosh.
Thanks for having me. You want to talk Brewers first?
It's been a really special season, and it's not whether you're wearing red or blue hats. It's yellow and blue.
How do you come together in politics? This is one of the ways.
Yeah.
Find some common ground, and then expand on that. And then you got to listen to the other side.
Our neighbors are not our enemies. We can disagree politically, but still find ways to bring our community together.
The Todd Allbaugh Show. Weekdays 2 to 4. On your local Civic Media radio station and on the app.
This is Robert Pilot, host of Native Roots Radio. On our show, we talk about Native issues like treaties, protecting Mother Earth, and holding our elected officials accountable. You'll also hear from Turtle Island voices like Arvina Martin, State Representative Heather Keeler, Ruth Anna Buffalo, Dr. Anthony Stately, State Senator Mary Kunish, Robert Lilligren, and Bob Blake. Native issues are human issues, and human issues are Native issues.
Native Roots Radio, weeknights at 8 on your local Civic Media radio station.
Pete Schwaba.
On the next Nightlight, it's a bar band Friday night, which means Terry Barr joins me with new music and fun conversation. And we'll have a special guest fast review of the new film, One Battle After Another.
Nightlight with Pete Schwaba. Weeknights from 6 till 8.
Hey, Greg Bach is here, everybody. And we're going to do TV themes. You know the words. Sing along. Bum, 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 bum. Bum, 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 bum. Actual lyrics.
In Spanish. Bum, 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 bum,
I actually learned the name of the group that does is The Ventures was the name of the group.
Yeah. Doing the... They were hugely influential on British, like, rock and roll. Like, they were very, very... Oh, no. You know what? And The Shadows. Ventures and The Shadows.
Okay.
Sorry.
That's all right. Yeah. How are you?
I'm great.
Good. It's
I'm
Friday. Great. It's nice to
it
have you here.
It is Friday.
Yeah.
I came in super early this morning to do some work, and you have that thing where you go to the office and there's nobody there and you get more done in like 25 minutes and 30 minutes than you're like, I've been here for 9 hours and I got one thing done.
Yes. Oh, I know. And it is. Sometimes you just need that little isolation edit.
Yep.
Anyway, for today's history lesson, Greg, we're going to make a game out of this. We have so many anniversaries today of TV premieres that we're going to make you our first contestant on the TV Tunes Pop Quiz.
Ba-da-ba-ba-ba.
Okay, you're hearing the first of four TV themes. We're going to play three more, and then your job is to put them in order by the date the show first premiered.
Oh, this is just a fun and easy quiz.
This will be easy. All right, well, here's hint number one. All four of these shows premiered on September 26th.
Well, it is today is history.
Okay,
lesson.
I got that going for me. All right, here's hint number two. They all premiered in the 1960s.
Okay, all right. Oh, my God. I'm not cheating. I'm writing
it
down.
I know, I none of them in the same year, okay? And then bonus points if you correctly guess the year of each show, not just in what order, okay? More bonus points if you can correctly guess the network. And even though this is overwhelming you, I'm hearing some listeners out there going, oh, bring this on. This is going to be great.
Only Roger is saying that
right now. Okay, it is only Roger and Steven's point. It's true, but at least there's one. So here we go.
I felt less anxiety when I took my ACTs.
I know. I love this. So make a note of the show, your guess on what year it debuted, what network is on. Are you ready for TV Tune number two?
I guess. Yes.
He's made this way more. Okay. Hit it. Number two.
Here's a story of a lovely lady who was bringing up three very lovely girls.
Again, this was
all of them had hair of gold.
A show that premiered in the 60s on September 26th.
Can I guess what show it is?
No, you can't.
Do I get points for
that's my job.
We only have one contestant here. All right.
He knows what the show
I'm is. Alex Trebek. You're Don Pardo. Stay over there, announcer.
Sir, yes, sir.
Okay. All right. So, Marsha, will Greg get this one right? We'll see. All right. Here comes. Oh, by the way, quick reminder, Florence Henderson from the Brady Bunch performed at my high school prom. I know.
You just said the name
like
of the
you
show.
Weren't, like you weren't going to get it. Here comes TV Tune number three. And again, Greg's looking to figure out what year these all premiered. All right, have you got this one down, little buddy?
Shut up.
The guy was so happy. He got so much work done, and now I go and throw this pop quiz
at
him.
Yeah, you like really like, you took away everything.
I took away
from
his
me, sir.
Joy.
I all feel right. like, I, deep cut, I feel like Scarlet Witch in Endgame, you took everything from me.
Here, Greg, is TV Tune number four.
Come and listen to my story about a man named all right, I got him.
You got him?
Mm-hmm. Okay. Hold on.
Well, we're going to leave this go because everybody loves this part coming up.
Oil, that is, black gold. Texas
tea. There we go. All right, Greg, for a grand prize of absolutely nothing but pride or a consolation prize of public embarrassment, put these four TV tunes and their shows in the order of their premiere. As Todd Albo would say, what say you?
Well, a really quick question for clarification.
Yes.
None of them premiered in the same year, though, right?
Correct.
Okay.
That'd be a rude guess.
Yeah.
Oh.
Okay. All right. I'm going to go with the first one being the Beverly Hillbillies premiering in 1964.
Okay, Beverly Hillbillies is the correct answer for the first one.
How about that?
All right. On NBC?
It was 1962 and on CBS. Oh. But you still got it right, so give them a ding for that. All right. That'll work, too.
I don't have a ding. That's all I got.
All right. That's fine. Okay. Which
one? 1962.
Which one was next?
The next one would be, if I want to guess correctly, would be Gilligan's Island.
Oh, you are very good at this. Yes. Congratulations.
And that would be 1964.
That is 1964. Do you want to guess the network, too?
CBS.
That is correct as well.
Whoa.
Boy, we got to get a... We're going to wear this key out over here. All right.
I hope you get something wrong.
Which one was third?
Brady Bunch.
Ooh, no, sorry.
It was Hawaii 5-0?
It was Hawaii 5-0 in 1968, also on CBS. Okay. And then the Brady Bunch was...
1969.
Do you happen to know that network?
ABC. No.
That is correct.
No.
Now you're going to let you second guess yourself.
You got it.
You got it.
All right. ABC. Okay.
So Beverly Hillbillies on this day in 1962. Gilligan's Island on this date in 1964. Hawaii 5-0 premiered on this day in 1968. And the Brady Bunch premiered on this day in 1969. What an easy peasy, enjoyable music quiz that was for you, Greg Bach.
That was great.
I'm going to go get a drink.
I mean, what else was I going to do with four? I had four TV themes sitting there in front of me. What else could I do with that but have a little
true.
Fun?
Very true.
And
I have a question for Parker really quick.
Yes. Yes.
Oh, no.
How many of those shows had you heard of before this?
Every single one of them.
You'd heard of them.
I have heard of every single one of them. I have seen a little bit of Gilligan's Island. I think I've seen a little Brady Bunch. I had not seen Beverly Hillbillies at all or Hawaii 5-0.
Gotcha. Okay.
So you never watched the reboot of Hawaii 5-0 from a few years ago?
No.
Okay.
Hawaii 5-0.1.
Yeah, right?
Pat's Island instead of
Gilligan's Island. Tony Gessel on YouTube. It does kind of feel like Pat's Island here. We're just right here in the middle of Studio A2. Shall we get back to some traditional history stuff? On this day in 1964, when that was that Gilligan's Island premiered in 1964, which I forget now. Anyway, the number one song was by Roy Orbison. And Oh, Pretty Woman would be the number one song for 3 weeks.
I love Roy Orbison. My dad loved Roy Orbison. That black and white concert from, what, like 89, 90, something like that? It was on PBS. Amazing, amazing television.
Such a good artist. So again, Pretty Woman, the number one hit this day 61 years ago. On this day in 1905, Albert Einstein publishes his theory of relativity. RFK Jr. still doubts it today. On this day in 1960, the first televised debate took place between Richard Nixon and John F. Kennedy at a Chicago TV studio. On this day in 1986, this is another one where I'm 100% certain Parker's got nothing on this. This was on this day in 1986 when Bobby Ewing, played by Patrick Duffy, returned to this TV show Dallas. His death previously was attributed to his wife Pam having a bad dream, which when Patrick Duffy wanted to come back to Dallas, gave them a hook to erase the entire previous season and restart all the storylines. Look at Parker reacting to this. Because it is as stupid now as it sounded then.
I wish that happened with the new Star Wars trilogy.
Yeah.
What year was that again?
That was 1986.
Okay, so I was 8 years old when that happened. I watched that show as a kid. Shouldn't have watched that. I don't know what my parents were thinking, but I watched it. I remember when Bobby was shot, and we were like, "What's gonna happen?" And then I remember at that age being like, "This is junk." What? He walks out of the shower and he's like, "Hello there." I'm like, "What are you doing?"
Yes, it was JR who was shot, by the way, his brother. Oh. But then brother Bobby wanted to leave the show and did. And then was like, "What did I just do? I left the number one show. I want back in."
And how how was his character supposedly supposed to die? How was he was like?
I don't remember how Bobby Yoshio died. I don't know. Parker's right away. He's got the fingers working across the Google machine right now. Oh, you jumped right on the keyboard. I thought for sure. All right.
You listening, WBA?
Yep. It was on this day in 1969, Abbey Road, the last recorded album by the Beatles, was released with songs including Here Comes the Sun and Something and Come Together and Golden Slumbers. Again, Abbey Road this day was 1969 when it was released. On this day in 1974, in Beatle member history, Apple released John Lennon's fifth studio album, Walls and Bridges, which featured this number one tune.
Sounds like Saturday Night Live.
Doesn't it, though?
Yeah, it does.
And this was the year before it premiered, and it was a bit of a duet with a relatively unknown Elton John. We'd only had one or two hits at this point. So Whatever Gets You Through the Night and number nine Dream were part of Walls and Bridges, released this day in 1974. Let's get to birthdays. The late country singer Lynn Anderson, who sang I Beg Your Pardon, I Never Promised You a Rose Garden, was born this day in 1947. She died about 10 years ago. Country singer Carlene Carter is 70 today. She had a string of hits in the late 80s and early 90s. The late, and I'm always sad to say this, the late Olivia Newton-John was born this day in 1948.
Interesting fun fact about Olivia Newton-John and Carlene Carter. I mean, Carlene Carter comes from royalty in country music, basically. Yes. Her direct lineage is to almost the birth of it. And Olivia Newton-John, originally a country singer in America. People weren't happy about it.
Yeah.
Not happy about it, but she started off as a country-politan singer.
Yes, although there was so much what you would call what country rock or, you know, like, look at the Eagles. The Eagles were essentially a country band in the beginning, some of those tunes too.
Yeah.
Then Olivia figured out, hey, there's money over here on the pop side.
She did it before Taylor Swift did it.
Yes, she did. Serena Williams is 44 years old today. Let's see. On this day in 1987, Whitney Houston scored the fifth of seven consecutive number one hits with this number one song. On this day in 2012, Pink lands her first number one album with The Truth About Love. It was her sixth studio album, and it featured Blow Me One Last Kiss and Just Give Me a Reason. And it was on this day in 2020 that Donald Trump nominated Judge Amy Coney Barrett for a U.S. Supreme Court seat to replace Ruth Bader Ginsburg, made the nomination despite it being so close to an election, which we'd been told previously you weren't supposed to be able to do. I know. Crazy stuff. I know.
It's weird.
It's a mystery.
And in the coming days, she would lie in front of a Senate subcommittee about her views on abortion. But let's get back to the music, Pat.
Yes, exactly. That's a bit of today's history lesson. Our Week in Review panel will be along the way in our next hour. And, of course, in the 8 o'clock hour, Mike Clemens previews a busy weekend for the Brewers and the Packers. I'm Pat Kreitlow. This is the Civic Media Radio Network.
As Wisconsin as a fish fry on a Friday night, this is the Civic Media Radio Network.
Get ready to go for the green and gold on 540 WAUK. Listen each weekday for the keywords to text for your chance to win our daily prize.
$200 cash and gold jewelry.
And be entered to win our grand prize.
Two indoor club-level seats to see the green and gold take on Minnesota.
Download our free Civic Media app and listen weekdays at 7, 9, 11, 1, 3, 5, and 7 for your chance to win in our multi-state contest. Complete rules at civicmedia.us. Sponsored in part by attorney Michelle Fitzgerald at Horizons Law Group. Getting divorced or need divorce coaching? See horizonslaw.com.
You're listening to the American Democracy Minute, keeping your government buy-in for the people. Maine voters decide November 4th whether adding more ID and mail-in voting restrictions for most voters justifies preventing almost non-existent voter fraud. Question 1 tightens voter ID requirements and adds hurdles for mail-in voters, including the elderly and disabled, despite only 2 voter fraud convictions since 1982. About half of Maine's over 842,000 2024 voters used a mail-in ballot, and over 16,000 subscribed to an ongoing absentee voter list, according to the state's September 2025 figures. If approved, Question 1 would eliminate the absentee list and prohibit requesting an absentee application by phone. It also prohibits third parties from delivering absentee ballot applications, including family members, and limits drop boxes. Maine's population is the oldest in the U.S., with 21.8% of residents over 65. Question 1 also narrows Maine's voter ID options, eliminating student IDs, tribal IDs, and other currently acceptable documents, despite no evidence of abuse. At almost 75%, Maine consistently has one of the highest voter turnouts in the country, and the Heritage Foundation's own figures show just 2 convictions for voter fraud in over 40 years. We have the text of Question 1 at AmericanDemocracyMinute.org. I'm Brian Beal.
The green and gold tailgating, the frozen tundra. Lambeau Field has a legacy all its own, including where to build it. Residents on both sides of Green Bay argued for it. Officials wanted property with room for growth. In the end, 50 acres of farmland was purchased, but the address, Ashwaubenon. More bargaining, and in 1956, the land was annexed to Green Bay. Now, do you know the other reason leaders considered this annexation so important? Parking, beer sales, keeping the Packers in Green Bay? The answer coming up. The Green Bay City Stadium project moved quickly from there, and in less than a year, opened with a Packers-Bears game. It became Lambeau Field in 1965, following the death of team co-founder and coach Curly Lambeau. So did you guess why the land annexation was so important? It's all 3, keeping the team in the city, parking, and beer sales. Ashwaubenon was dry at the time. Officials believe Packers fans wanted to be able to buy beer and could in Green Bay. This history makes it a true slice of Wisconsin. I'm Terry Barr for the Civic Media Radio Network.
Download the Civic Media app in the Google Play or Apple App Store and take us everywhere. This is the Civic Media Radio Network.
You're listening to Mornings with Pat Kreitlow on WAUK. My name is Greg Bach. Happy Friday. We made it. The weekend is almost here, and this is what's going on in southeastern Wisconsin. I know that Election Day is more than a year away, but we got to talk about our candidates. We got to talk about the races. We got to talk about what's going on and what we need to get ready for 2026. And over the past few weeks, I've been playing interviews with people who have declared their candidacy for various seats around Wisconsin. And today, I want to introduce you to Trevor Young. In fact, I'm going to have Don Rosen introduce you, because he sat down with Trevor to talk about his campaign for Wisconsin State Senate of District 21.
Well, welcome our guest. He's running for the 21st Wisconsin Senate candidacy. He's running for that seat. And it's Trevor Young. Thanks for joining us.
Don, it is an honor to be on the show. Thank you.
You said you were here when you were a kid, huh?
I have been here once when I was in high school, and there was a Focus on Community feature for young people. And it's good to be back.
Now, where are you born?
I was born in 1995, and I was born halfway across the world. So in Krasnodar, Russia. So my mom was not in a position to take care of me. So I was placed in an orphanage until I was 2 years old. And my dad traveled halfway across the world and saved me from a life of poverty and oppression and brought me to the center of the universe, Racine, Wisconsin.
How long have you been here?
My whole life. My whole life. I went off to university at UW-Milwaukee, proud Panther. And
get that in there.
Yeah, and came right back to Racine after graduating with the degree in urban studies and urban planning.
Whoa. Okay. So now you're in the transportation department, right?
Yes. Yes. So leading public transportation for the greater Racine area.
Okay. What did you do before that?
Well, I served 2 terms on the Racine City Council. Mm-hmm. But professionally, I worked at Carthage College doing employer relations, talking to employers about recruiting skilled talent to, you know, feed a pipeline for talent for employers across southeast Wisconsin that Carthage had internship programs with. So that, you know, informed an experience of what can we do to attract the next generation of talent to make sure that Southeastern Wisconsin is competitive. So between that and my work in local government, it's been a real education.
So you work for the city now. You've been in an alderman. What district was it, by the way?
District 9. So proud West Racine guy. So okay. I actually went to daycare at Atonement Lutheran and lived right across the street on Wright Avenue when I was on the city council. So when people would ask my local cred, you know, how are you connected to this neighborhood? I would always say I didn't go very far, right across the street from daycare.
I ask everybody who gets into politics the same question. Why would you want to get into it? Because 50% of the people are not going to like you for whatever reason. It just works out like that.
Right.
Same thing with disc jockeys. 50% of the people aren't going to like you for playing the Beach Boys or whatever you play. So why'd you get into politics?
Well, good question. So I owe everything to my hometown. You know, growing up in Racine, I had this kind of all-American childhood, Little League baseball, product of the public schools, you know, took classes at Wisdom Art Museum, you know, attended the Racine Theater Guild. So growing up here, I had this real sense of gratitude, like, wow, this community saved me.
Did you work in the guild? Theater guild?
No, just volunteer. Took classes with Mrs. Mount. You know, that was my, you know, theater days. And so growing up, it was like, wow, like this is a pretty special place. And, you know, my family has been here for four generations. My grandma, she actually owned a bar in downtown Racine. So as any good Wisconsinite, I have, you know, that experience growing up at the end of the bar at the tavern. And so just this sense of community, this sense of gratitude. So growing up, I wanted to give back. And so looking at, you know, how do we solve problems at a neighborhood level? I went off to university to study urban studies and urban planning because I think that that's where you make the biggest difference. And because of that, that inspired me to get involved in politics because I see if everybody works together, is focused on the right issues, we can really make a difference in people's lives.
21st District encompasses Racine.
Yes.
And what else? Just Racine?
So the north side of the city of Racine, up to Caledonia, Wind Point, goes all the way out to Raymond, and then north into Franklin, Hales Corners, Greenfield, Greendale, so the southwest suburbs of Milwaukee County. So it is a 50-50 district. We are going to have to earn every vote and talk to people where they are and focus on things that are important to families, you know, like affordability, like housing, like good-paying jobs, making sure we're taking care of the most vulnerable. So it's going to be an exciting one. And I'm really grateful that this is a fair district because the people of Racine and Wisconsin deserve an actual voice and an actual choice.
Okay, so now people hear the assembly, the state assembly, they hear the state senate. Do you guys vote on this? You obviously can vote as the whole body, but what's the difference? Is it just the size of the area that assemblymen and state senate people cover? Is that the only difference?
Yeah. So for every state senator, there are three assembly people. So there are three districts per state senate district. So in Racine, we have Angelina Cruz, and then we've got two other members of the assembly in the rest of the district. And so it is a bigger area, covers, you know, geographically and population wise more. And so that just means that we're going to have to get out there and talk to as many people as possible before November of next year.
Well, you got to have some energy to run for office, huh?
Oh, yeah. I've got my cup of coffee from Wilson's right down the street here. So,
look at you.
Yeah, so we're ready to go.
Trevor Young is my guest. He is currently working for the city of Racine in the transportation department. What is the exact title?
The transit. So it's the transit department, and I'm the transit and mobility director for Ride Racine, the public transit system in eastern Racine County.
Look at that title. Whoa.
Yeah, quite the. I mean, when you have a little and in there, that shows you've made it.
Now that you've gotten to know Trevor a little bit, in the next hour, I'm going to play for you another excerpt from their discussion, and he's going to be covering what he wants to bring to his district, what he wants to bring on the campaign trail, and what he wants to hear from you, the voters. And don't forget to sign up for Civic Media Today, our new newsletter, by going to civicmediatoday.substack.com. You're listening to WAUK's local report on Mornings with Pat Kreitlow. To stay up to date with everything going on in southeastern Wisconsin, go to WAUKradio.com and sign up for our newsletter. For WAUK and Civic Media, my name is Greg Bach. I'll talk to you in 20 minutes. It's 6:59.
This is 540 WAUK Jackson, Milwaukee's real news and great conversation. A Civic Media station.
CBS News Brief. Former FBI Director James Comey says bring on the trial after he was indicted on federal charges accusing him of misleading lawmakers during Senate testimony. CBS's Scott McFarland.
James Comey will appear in federal court in Alexandria, Virginia in the coming days to answer to these two federal charges. The grand jury declined to approve a third charge.
President Trump's announced a new round of taxes on imports. CBS's Kelly O'Grady.
We have a 100% tariff on all imports. Pharmaceuticals, a 50% tariff on kitchen cabinets, 30% on upholstered furniture.
Officials say the 29-year-old suspect in Wednesday's deadly shooting outside an ICE field office in Dallas left written notes behind. Acting U.S. Attorney Nancy Larson.
He called the ICE employees people showing up to collect a dirty paycheck.
One detainee was killed outside the building. Officials say the suspect killed himself. CBS News Brief. I'm